So to recap, President Trump's executive order bars travelers from seven Muslim-majority nations for 90 days. It also halts the arrival of all refugees to the U.S. for 120 days, and it bans Syrian refugees indefinitely. But there's a lot of confusion about the measure beyond those three sentences.
Refugee rights groups have been quick to challenge the restrictions. Betsy Fisher is a lawyer with the International Refugee Assistance Project. Betsy, you've been leading the effort over the weekend to get lawyers to airports to assist affected travelers. Why?
Sure. Well, we first became aware of detentions when two of our own clients, whom we've been representing, two Iraqis who actually worked for the United States government and came under threat, they were being held at JFK. And through that, we learned that other folks were also in detention. So when we got news of that, we sent out word for lawyers across the country to show up to international airports and try to respond to any cases of detention.
Right. And we've been hearing about some of the scenes when U.S. green card holders have arrived at U.S. airports, green card holders here, and in some cases having their green cards taken away, being asked to sign a document that makes them abandon their lawful permanent resident status. What are you hearing from your staff, and why is that happening?
Sure. So when this order was signed, it's extremely broad, and it's also not very clear. So at first, it was entirely unclear whether legal permanent residents or green card holders would be affected. The White House then said that they would be. And then late last night, Secretary Kelly, the new Secretary of Homeland Security, said that they would not be. But we continue to see a lot of chaos and a lot of ad hoc implementation of this order on the part of Customs and Border Protection in airports.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer said officials didn't want to telegraph what they're doing to people who might have rushed to airports to beat the ban. So is that a reasonable explanation of all the confusion?
First of all, they declared that they wanted to do some sort of ban like this months ago on the campaign trail, and a full draft was leaked earlier in the week. We don't know by whom or why. Secondly, you know, for our clients, that is exactly not how the refugee program works. Our clients who are fleeing from terror and from violence wait through years of processing, years of security screenings. And the people who are being told that their flights are canceled, the people who have their status now in limbo indefinitely, have been waiting for years. There was no rush to the airport because this process is a years-long wait.
I just want to ask you, the White House also says 109 of some 325,000 travelers were slowed down in their trips and called that a small price to pay for protecting the American people. What's your estimate on how many people are impacted by these immigration restrictions?
Well, we know that the United States was planning to admit 110,000 refugees this calendar year and has already admitted about 25,000. We also know that there are hundreds of people who are applying for admission based on their service and danger that they faced after they served the United States military in Iraq. So these small numbers, I would guess that the numbers are much higher than 109. I can't be sure because I haven't been in the various in each airport to see for myself. The real crisis here is not just the folks who have been caught in airports in the short term. It's the long-term effects of people who have immediate family members in this country who can't come. People who have surgery scheduled who can't come. And in our case, for our clients, refugees who are fleeing from terrorism who will no longer be able to come over the next few months.
You started a bit there, but could you look outward for us? Like, what are the major implications that concern you the most about this executive order?
The effects on refugees, for those who are fleeing from terrorism and violence, this will have an effect not just for these 120 days, but then also for a significant period of time after that. And that's because there are so many security checks and medical checks that are in place for these people. And those expire over time. So after the 120-day period passes, they'll have to undergo additional screening. For other folks, we're looking at U.S. citizens with spouses who are separated. And certainly just the precedent here of having a ban that certainly seems to target people of a particular religion or at least people of these seven nationalities. It's a very concerning precedent to set.
So who do you think has the most power now to make change? The Democrats came out today and called for a reversal of the travel ban. But a lot of Democratic voters are upset that their party isn't doing more. Is it just the lawyers who have the most power now to make change?
I think lawyers have been able to deploy immediately and effectively, but I think members of the public who have gone to airports and protest, people who are gathering in public places now to protest, also have tremendous influence in urging their members of Congress to legislate to limit this, to make clear that legal permanent residents should not be affected by this ban. And the courts now have a decision to make about whether they think this ban violates the Constitution.
Betsy Fisher, a lawyer with the International Refugee Assistance Project. Thanks very much, Betsy.
Thank you.